Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a trade deadline day in the National Football League. We're gearing up to, I believe it's 4 Eastern, so 3 p.m. Central is when when that official deadline hits. However,
who's in the lead right now?
you're trolling now.
You know what? Actually, you know who's in the lead on deadline day? Jets. The Seattle Seahawks, baby. The Seahawks look fantastic. They are, all right, I know y'all gonna laugh, but it's all good. They are already incredibly high historically, DVOA-wise. Like, this is a really well-situated team.
Oh, God, man. We're talking about the damn trade deadline,
Let me land. Can I land?
You ain't got to bring DVOA up and everything, man.
Can I land? The point being, they were already a really, really good team. Jaxon Smith-Njigba clearly looks like a number one wide receiver. And they add Rashid Shaheed to allow them. He's a great second receiver. He allows them to push all of those buttons on a defense.
Listen, they're, Reggie, right
they're
going now.
To make teams.
I'm giving him his minute. I got something to say.
Am I wrong?
No, go ahead, finish.
Like they are going. Like our defense is already good. Now they have a 1-2 punch with this offense with Sam Darnold. I think that they're going to be a really, really tough team that continues.
And obviously you're not wrong, but here's the thing: the trade deadline is about passion and your gut and, you know, emotion and all that.
All right, hit me with the emotion. I was going to say hit me with your gut, but that's
by the way,
crazy.
That coach trade, A.D. Mitchell.
I was about to get there. Yes,
is
sir.
In there. Is in the trade. He's going to the Jets.
Yeah, okay. what were you going to say passion-wise?
All that stuff is what the trade deadline is about. And right now, what I'm feeling, the emotions I'm feeling is wow. You know, is wow. They are in it to win it. They being the Colts and the Seahawks.
Well, yeah. That's why I like the Seahawks one more because I think it accentuates. The Colts one, it's really interesting. Yeah, they are all in here. And I think that there are some things that are worth considering on what that might tell you, again, on maybe if you're the Texans, if that gives you any level of insight on how you need to move. But the Colts trade and they acquire Sauce Gardner, cornerback Sauce Gardner, who, mind you, an interesting point that I just saw was his contract extension, the money of that is just hitting. So they're getting a player that maybe has taken a little bit of a step back. I don't know how much of that you can also add into the Jets defense kind of crumbling to some degree, but there's a little bit of decline in him. He just got more expensive with his extension, and they gave up 2 first round picks, a 2026 and 2027 pick, and wide receiver A.D. Mitchell for the honor of getting him back. Like this is an overpay, but where they are as a team maybe justifies it? Question
no, I think where they are as a team justifies it. We'll see if that ultimately proves to be true. And, you know, some texts are coming in. The Jets fleeced the Colts.
It was expensive.
WTF Colts. Oh, my gosh. They took them for a ride. All this stuff. I get it. And if I'm a Jets fan, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled for the future. But you know, one of my things I say oftentimes is it's probably, if it doesn't hurt, it's probably not a good trade. Of course it hurts. And we'll see just how good a trade that is.
Yeah, but you talking about if it doesn't hurt, like lifting real heavy. This very much could have been taking a hammer to the foot. That's what this could be. Because, again.
No, you're 100% right.
You're giving up an opportunity. A couple of first round picks for, again, an asset that I feel like is a little bit depressed. I'm not trying to say he's nothing now. But then on top of that, and we talked about this a little bit, quarterback-wise, you're not guaranteed to have the quarterback that you have next season. You're going to have to negotiate with him, and now he knows you have less leverage there. You have less opportunity or less things to get you another quarterback if you wanted to go there. They're locked in with what they have here. Now, maybe you just look at it and you go, hey, they're pushing all in for this particular year.
What do you want the Texans to do? Let's bring it home.
Yeah. Based off of what the Colts have done,
what would we be saying if the Texans did something similar? Obviously not a cornerback, but did something, you know, that kind of a big swing. Would we be saying, oh, Texans got fleeced? Hell no. We'd be saying the Texans are all in. this is a championship defense. Now they got whomever is.
Or better yet, if the Texans were 7-2 now and they made this a type deal of trade.
No, that's exactly what I didn't mean with this record. Yeah. I'm saying let's say that
with his record.
We would be saying, oh my God.
I would be excited, but I'm like,
let's say the Texans were just swap records and the Texans make a very similar deal. Would we be saying they got fleeced? I don't think so.
We would be saying they're all in right now.
Right. We'd say they're all in, but I think that it's...
That's an all-in type of move.
One of the words that Nick Caserio often uses is like fiduciary responsibility. Like you have to have a certain level of responsibility and level-headedness to this. And I think this is another reason why we tend to look at Chris Ballard and go, word?
Yeah.
I think that, yes, you want to take a big swing. You don't want to take a big swing to your own detriment. We'll see. Time will ultimately tell.
That's exactly where I was going.
That's an all-in type of move, though.
Look, it could backfire. There is no question about it. But let's say we're in San Francisco for Radio Row this year, and we're talking about the Colts.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Then it's worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to be a Jets fan for 2027, 2028, whatever. But this is a move that the Colts have put a stake in the ground. Absolutely.
Or do you feel like if they were getting all pro Sauce Gardner?
That's a different context. That is absolutely different context.
Yeah, but the thing is he's playing for the Jets too.
Yes, exactly.
So maybe you could get all pro Sauce Gardner on the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's something we really don't know, but you might not get him.
A32 says everyone would be upset with that trade. I don't think the A32 would be upset. I don't think he would be or she would be upset.
You're giving up a lot. I think that
you're giving up a lot. I don't think people here would be upset.
Yeah.
If you're 7-2 and you make a deal like that, let's go.
Yeah, I'm not sure I fully agree with that. But with that being the case, with the move that they made, does this at all change your perspective on the greater outlook of how the Texans should operate, or are you just kind of ho-hum, we're in the same place? Does that at all shift your mentality? Because again, they could be in a place where they've given up their next couple of first-round picks. Quarterback situation could be a little bit more tenuous now, or you might have to commit more of their salary cap to quarterback than they had previously thought with whatever the negotiation ultimately comes up next year. Does this give you more of a feeling that you might be able to step more quickly back into a place in the AFC South?
Look, I'm sitting here trying to think reasonably, like Nick Caserio might, you know, we're not going to let what other teams do affect how we do business. You know, that whole mindset. I don't know about you guys. I think it definitely does. It certainly makes you sort of think again, you know, about where you are. And by the way, the Jaguars are making the two biggest moves today have been the Colts and the Jaguars. You're telling me that we're just going to keep, you know, plugging along, not worried about what other people are doing?
It's kind of tough too, because I feel like the Texans are in a place where you look at what everybody else is doing in the division, but I think they got deeper problems where, man, they got to focus on playing better football on the offense, man. So I don't know if they would look at the Colts and say, man, we got to make a move right now because Colts did something.
Yeah. So, do you think it would?
I'm trying to figure. I mean, they really do just need to figure out what this offensive or what this team just generally is as a baseline. And that was one of the questions that D'Amico Ryans was asked yesterday about this offense. Mm-hmm. We're 9 weeks through this, and this is the question that was posed to him. I believe Sarge asked it of D'Amico. Hey, what is your offensive identity now?
For us right now, offensively, like, we got to be better. We have to be better, and that's from all standpoints of just putting guys in position, that's executing all the way across the board. We just have to be better offensively.
As you might be able to tell, not an offensive identity.
I don't know if
you didn't catch that. Just being better isn't an offensive identity, at least not by any standard that I've seen. And that is quite an indictment that you are half the way through a season. And this didn't feel to me, Lopez, like a guy who's just, you know, maybe more defensively inclined and not going to get into the X's and O's of what his offense is. That simply felt like, I don't have a good answer for this.
That's exactly what it felt like. And what was his previous answer? I always forget.
His previous answer, we need to move the ball. Yeah, move the ball.
He was asked about the identity, I guess, 2 weeks ago.
Yes, 2 weeks ago. After Seahawks.
And he said the identity was move the ball. Today, you just heard what he said. I'm with you. I think they're trying to figure out. I think he has an idea what he wants it to be, but he just can't say it with a straight face right now.
What do you think that is then?
Pound, basically all of this stuff. Pound the ball, move people off the line of scrimmage, establish the run, and then be safe passing the ball. And that's just not happening.
So what do you think the offensive identity should be? That's something that I was thinking about all
what
day
would it
since
be?
I saw that.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe if you're going to what you have here, probably more of an I don't have a good answer. I really don't, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't say that this needs to just be a pure drop-back team, but it probably does. More of a short-passing team, which is what they had kind of gotten to. Definitely a team that tries to attack the middle of the field. I just don't know that they can do – they've tried to do those things. They haven't done them with very much efficiency. And that would require, I think, an opportunity for your offensive line to protect well. And the tough thing about it is that they've put so much emphasis on – trying to stay ahead of the chains and running the football in order to do that, that I think that it also cuts away from some of the other, the effectiveness of some of the other things you're trying to do.
You know, last night kind of gave me an answer to this because the Arizona Cardinals decided, oh, yeah, we've got a good receiver. Marvin Harrison Jr. is all right. Let's target the hell out of him and put some pressure on the, obviously a bad Cowboys day, but you know, they decided what the Texans have not. And the Texans, instead of trying to be who they are, they're trying to be something they're not. You know, who they are is a team that has a great wide receiver and a quarterback that can sling it and is, you know, is accurate and all that. But what they want to be is counter to that. So it's a little confusing. They, you know, the whole best player, you call plays, players not plays, that whole thing. They're doing it the other way. They're calling plays not players.
Yeah, and some of this is just wanting to have that identity. So, I mean, look, again, they don't have the identity that they seemingly want, but did at least D'Amico maybe give you some hope that possibly this could shift? And the bigger thing for me is, all right, even if there is indeed hope that, all right, they might be looking to shift it, what is reasonable? What can you do? Because that's one of the things that's tough. I know that a lot of people are like, hey, fire Nick Caley into the sun, and you're not going to find me complaining too much. I've already gotten to a place where I've said that he's out of his depth.
Yes.
In this position. He's had some moments of looking better, but even still, I haven't seen anything where he's created like significant advantage schematically for this team, which is what you probably need from an offensive coordinator, right?
Do you think changes are coming?
It's possible.
Maybe not in public.
Yeah, I could see it. Mm-hmm. I could see it. I just don't know what it actually does, right? You've set up the parameters of what this offense is. Like, you have your playbook, so to say. You're not going to be able to install a new playbook. Having an early bye week makes that even less tenable because mm-hmm. you can't take the extra week to maybe try and make larger swings. You're week to week at this point with what you have, just trying to game plan it a little bit closer towards something that works better. So no matter what, if you have someone else in charge of the game plan, someone else inputting even more, if you're trying to split up the pie of game plan development, no matter what, it's going to be slowly, little by little, if you make any level of changes. I just can't see the big shift that I think would be necessary to get this team playing better.
I agree with you. It's just so hard. But I could see more of a game plan that leans toward the reality over the perception.
Sure.
You know, the perception of what they want to be, we've talked about. The reality is they're not that. So if you lean more toward the reality, maybe you trust – you know, whether it's whatever, pick an offensive coach, you know, whether it's
Shaplinski, Laser, Johnson.
And lean into them and say, and this is where D'Amico with, you know, stepping into the offensive side of the room comes into play. You're going to listen to, you know, for this game, Shaplinski's putting in the pass, you know, the pass packages. Gerard is putting in whomever it might be. And maybe, you know, go with that. Maybe that's the change. Like, look, it's not working. So let's just change it.
You know what's funny, though? As much as I'm like, I don't know, you're not going to find a different sandbox to play in. The sandbox that you have to play in is the one that is there as of right now. I do think there's a number of little things that can go a pretty long way if they can do it, right? When you're talking about slowing down a rush, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. You can just block up, sure. Mm-hmm. There's opportunities to bring in extra players to chip. Sure, you can do that. You know, one of the things that earlier on in the season, I can't remember which team specifically did it, but for some reason I'm thinking it was week 3 Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
You remember, like, you can use a hard count to slow down edge rushers that are getting after you, right? Now,
maybe that's in play.
Interior rushers, you can't. You're not going to do necessarily well as well. Like, I don't know if that's going to stop them. But edge rushers, if they're getting on you pretty quick and they're beating you, you get them the hard count, you force them to have to think about when they're going. Maybe they get off a half second slower, and that half second can mean the world.
Yeah.
Obviously, utilizing things like play action consistently in ways that make sense, utilizing motion consistently in ways that are useful and helpful.
Mm-hmm.
These are the little things that you add into an offense, and they make a world of difference. And we've seen this statistically. We've seen this studied.
Yeah.
And it feels like there's not enough of those things also. And if they are, they're infrequent or not in the right times. And I do wonder if you do make changes in who's if that becomes more consistent and more helpful to what you're doing to try and work make some of these plays and some of these concepts that are age-old concepts that we're seeing more effective when they actually hit the field at NRG.
And just real quick, just to for those who weren't listening yesterday when D'Amico spoke, we're not just pulling this, you think there's going to be changes out of thin air. D'Amico yesterday said it a couple of times, including right here.
I hope so. We're trying to convert them. So we have to do something different. Obviously, what we're doing, it hasn't worked. So we just got to find a different way.
That's not, a casual comment. That's, we've got to do something different. And so that's why I think there will be some, whether it's something that's made public or not, that's just behind the scenes or whatever.
It'll be very interesting to watch what the game looks like versus Jacksonville. And you know that they're probably they're ready for Davis Mills to be out there. I know that he sat down, D'Amico Ryans did with the coaches show when he sat down with Vandermeer and Harris and basically was like, it's incredibly rare for a quarterback to come back. So we're planning as if Davis Mills is there. That's another place in which it's going to be important that they change the way that they go. Because one of the things that I felt like I saw in that game was CJ Stroud is much better in zone. I think Sean Payton actually talked about this. He talked about the idea that, when CJ goes out, they don't have to, what do you call it, like a cage rush, like where you kind of have to contain them. They changed the way that they went about things. They dropped more people in, and they tried to force Davis Mills to be accurate, and we saw that be an issue. I think teams with a full week of preparing for Davis Mills, they're going to be able to attack his particular game plan and his style, so they might have to shift it, what they do to make him, in that same way, to make him more successful. How confident I am that they will be able to do that, they have not given me enough to believe him to that degree. But the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're favored in this game versus the Jags. The Texans are, and they've played the Jags in a pretty close.
They've kind of owned them
when they had some more issues.
Counts,
yeah. Right. So I mean, we'll see. We'll see if the offense can maybe step up to the podium. The defense, we know, will be there and give them an opportunity to try and win at NRG on Sunday. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Still reeling from the trade deadline and the Colts giving up two first round picks and Adonai Mitchell to go ahead and acquire Sauce Gardner. And it seems like the Browns are making a trade. They're sending a defensive end, but Joe Tyron Shoyinka.
Miles Garrett?
No, not Miles Garrett. They're sending him to the Bears for a sixth and seventh round swap. So the Bears adding a little bit of depth on their defensive line at this trade deadline. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions. We'll see if any more trades happen next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so here's a non-Sauce Gardner and Indianapolis Colts confession. We'll get to one.
Come on, why not? Man, we want more sauce, man.
Because this made me laugh.
Why are we arguing
hard
so much about the Colts right now?
Well, you know why? They're ahead of you in the division.
This is Colts Radio.
All right, so I realized something that I probably knew, we probably all know, but it's just funny. It truly does not matter who you are, what you've accomplished, how much money you have, none of it matters. When the wife says sit up in a particular tone, you sit up. So there was Nick Saban enjoying Monday Night Football. You could just see it on the screen in front of him. He was sitting in his recliner, feet were up, had a blanket over his legs.
Oh, the blanket over the legs is clutch. Yeah, that's how you know you're comfortable.
Yeah, he had the blanket over his legs. And then they decided to sing happy birthday to him, and he didn't move.
To you, happy birthday to you.
That's good. That
was Miss Terry run everything around there, man. Terry,
she didn't just say sit up, please. She goes sit up, and he went to attention.
He popped up.
He popped it.
He
down.
Popped up. Yeah, he had that little button on the side. He the popped recliner.
His, put his sat up straight in the chair, dude. That is one of the funniest things I've seen. Like, it's like sit up.
You remember his story about when he was at Michigan State and when he was trying to go to LSU. Like, he couldn't just go on the visit, right? Yeah. That would have really alerted some things and made everybody mad. He sent Miss Terry down to LSU. She was the one who looked at the all the facilities and looked at all the program and was like, all right, yeah, you can do this here. Miss Terry run everything around there. Like, don't get it twisted. Miss Terry is the person that makes the Nick Saban empire what it is. I wouldn't be surprised if you got Miss Terry on a whiteboard and she started drawing up cover threes and all this other stuff. Like, I wouldn't be surprised one bit.
Oh, sit up. Oh, yes, ma'am. He didn't even say a word. Just poop. But popped it back down. All right. I guess I'm blowing out the candles. And she oversaw that too, of course, by the way.
Of course she did. Yeah. She sees everything. I hate to say it. Actually, I don't know how much I hate to say it. I know Lopez will love me saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've made a lot more than we probably should have out of the Blake Fisher as a jumbo.
Oh, really? How come?
Not that, obviously, like, I think it makes sense adding that extra heft on the offensive line. I think that we've got to be careful to not do the thing where we go, well, Blake Fisher is a better version of himself because he has been useful as a sixth man. I was going through and, you know, watching back some things from the game, as I think we all do on a Monday, Tuesday, in this time period of the week. And especially on the goal line, I'm looking at some of these plays and I'm like, hey, dog, this technique is not, it's not it. Like, I'm still seeing some stuff where
still,
I'm like.
Still Blake Fisher?
Is
that what we're saying?
Didn't I say he would enjoy this? Yeah, like, there's still enough of that where I go, hey, Titus Howard, you sure you got a concussion?
Yeah.
Like, that's I am really concerned about Blake Fisher having to start.
And see,
it right
that's
there.
Why I mentioned yesterday, because I think y'all mentioned, Blake Fisher, he's the swing tackle. I'm like, I don't know. I would be surprised if they put Trent Brown in there, man.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Because they did it earlier, man. They shuffled the whole offensive line one point just to not play Blake Fisher.
Yeah. They had all them dudes active, though. Like, yeah. Trent Brown, yeah. They had him as a healthy scratch. He I have not seen him. Like, I haven't seen him play football.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't.
But they will show you how bad Blake Fisher is if they decide to roll with a Trent Brown.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Or maybe it shows you how bad Trent Brown is at this point. Which
yeah, both of those.
Right, and that's the thing. Is again, I think that I didn't say that he was, you know, definitely going to be right tackle because I believe so strongly in his ability. Mm-hmm. I think that's just where they are. I'm looking at it. He's the swing tackle because 1-2, he's the third tackle active. Like, that's clearly where they value him and where they believe believe him to be in their roster and in their depth chart. I'm just still in a place where I'm like, oh, Blake Fisher, still kind of the Blake Fisher that we've kind of come to understand over the last season.
Yeah, I haven't really looked specifically at him. I'm glad you did. But either way, it affects, you know, depending on Titus Howard, how they're going to be able to do any of that stuff, whether it's or not do the jumbo package, you know, just go in altogether different direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I got to confess, I feel like I set Sean up to fail, Sean Pendergast up to fail.
What?
So I didn't realize last week, remember we had our Halloween party?
Mm-hmm.
And Sean, what was Sean and Grego's costume?
Right Said Fred.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just, too sexy.
Yeah, from the music video,
yeah,
I'm too
okay.
sexy.
Yeah, so Sean had on his little fishnet shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And we went over there during the break, and I kind of got a video of him in the fishnet shirt and Grego snatching his shirt off and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they went in there performing all that. But I posted some clips from the Halloween party
mm-hmm.
where Sean was wearing the shirt. And I posted it on social media. I posted it on Twitter. I had no idea that people was going to take that video and use it against Sean in the smack off.
So, oh no.
Yeah, so apparently some people did some
oh boy, he's gonna get destroyed.
No, he did get destroyed. No, I didn't even know he was in the smack off. You know, I don't really keep up with that unless Sean said, hey, I'm gonna be in the smack off, and maybe I missed it. But I wanna say it was like one or two other people that was in the smack off talking smack about Sean, and they used that video. They did a little screenshot of Sean in the fishnet shirt. I felt so bad, man. And I talked to Sean on Sunday at the game. I'm like, hey, I had to apologize to him. I'm like, I had no idea. I would have waited to post that.
Yeah.
Or probably wouldn't have posted it at all if I knew you were setting up to be in the smack off. And I felt like they used that as ammo, and I'm kind of responsible for it.
Yeah, I'd feel the same way. I
feel so bad. He told me no worries, and mm-hmm. you know it didn't bother him at all, but I felt like I gave him the bullets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that
you were part of opposition research.
Yeah,
I feel bad for you, but
I wouldn't have posted it.
I also feel it shouldn't have happened. I didn't know.
Yeah, I had no idea, because mm-hmm. I posted our video with our costumes, and then you know, saying Sean and all that. I just did a little video and I posted it. Mm-hmm. I didn't think nothing of it. And I seen that video. I seen a couple screenshots from the video circulating around. I'm like, wait a minute, that was from my video. And they were talking smack about Sean pretty much to Jim Rohn. And I'm like, oh,
how did it go, by the way? Not well for him?
I think he finished. He said he finished fourth.
Okay.
So he said he was pretty satisfied with it. And he'd be doing it again. I don't know if they do it next year.
Did the winner use that against Sean?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think it was a couple people that used it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I feel so bad, man. Yeah. If I would have knew that, I wouldn't have posted anything. I felt so bad.
Yeah. I got to confess, I'm missing something that I shouldn't miss.
What does that mean?
I kind of wish that the election was a little bit livelier around here. This was a bore. I went to vote this morning. There was one person in the entire place ahead of me. One person.
Why are you surprised?
Are you kind of shocked?
You've lived a long time and seen a lot of elections
to
know.
I get that it's not a presidential election.
Not only is it not a presidential election, not gubernatorial.
Yeah.
There's no senators.
Yeah.
There's not even a mayor happening.
But here's the thing.
We voting on amendments, dog. Yes.
But as much as I hate all the ads, all the hoopla, all the lying, all the everything, I walked in there, I was like, man, this is sad. There was one other person in there.
This man said doing his civic duty wasn't exciting enough.
It wasn't. That's exactly what I'm saying. It needs to have a little more buzz.
Grow up, John Lopez.
There was only one candidate that put a sign out in front of my polling place.
Dang.
There was one. You know,
sounds like your polling place. Yeah. My polling place was jumping. There was all sorts of signs in there. No,
there was only one. Well, it was like four signs, but it was the same one, the same candidate. And I'm like, whatever. What's wrong with us that we don't go vote for these things as much as we should? But I'm like,
what do you mean? What's wrong with us? You're displaying it right now. You're like, I wasn't excited enough. That's not
no,
why you vote.
I went. What I'm saying though is like, I kind of missed the buzz. I miss being mad about everybody doing all those stupid things.
I see you 408. That's also worth noting is that's kind of the point of not having a lot of people was early voting, having the week or so of early voting.
Yeah, but there was one dude.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
One.
I mean,
I know it kind of made me happy. I could leave up out of here and go vote real quick.
Yeah,
you won't have to worry about the line then.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be able to get it done, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, I don't even know how I feel. This is my confession. I don't know how I feel that all the big news in the trade deadline is obscuring another piece of news tangentially related to the NFL that I really just want to get y'all's opinion on.
Okay.
Do you know that Tom Brady has revealed that his dog, Junie, was cloned when his previous pet died in 2023?
I think you're lying.
I am not lying. Tom Brady said that he got a clone dog.
Is this true?
What? Why would I lie about this?
No, do you believe Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Though?
Yes. Why would he lie about this?
Because he's Tom Brady.
I mean, people lie all the damn time over stupid stuff.
Yeah.
That would be something I would lie about just to kind of get people going.
You
know,
would?
That dog is cloned.
Yeah.
I'm Tom Brady. I can do stuff like that.
Let me just get the people going.
First of all, I'm blown away. Junie, that's who you're talking about.
Yeah, Junie.
Is a clone of the late pet Lua.
Lua, which is the dog that he and his ex-wife had shared. And the dog passed in December of 2023, and I guess he decided to go ahead and clone him. And by the way, he announced this because he announced that he is working with a biotech company.
Oh, okay, it's not true.
Yeah.
Okay,
you think that
true.
It's not true? You don't think that they
He's
did the deal?
He's an investor in the company
yeah,
that did it.
Yeah, they did the deal, and he was like, hey,
all right,
I still got
better.
Some hairs laying around. Go ahead and run me up a new dog.
Yeah. So you don't think it's not a chance that he probably got the same breed of dog that look exactly alike?
I think it's BS is what I think. He went from Labrador to Labradoodle,
which
he calls it a clone.
Which is the better one, if he actually had his dog cloned or if he just lied? To get this money.
Well, the better one is the cloning because it's kind of scary. But the one I think is true is the Oh, by the way, I'm also an investor in Colossal Biosciences. You too can have your dog cloned.
All of it's uncomfortable. From the 281, Tom Brady is a clone. Hilarious. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is Tuesday. Let's do some college football on a Tuesday. Let's talk about what's happening and. There are more jobs in college football. They're running, they're taking over. All the open jobs taking over. Let's sort this out next. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Tuesday to you. Hope it's going all right. Trade deadline buzz is buzzing. There's stuff happening. The big news, obviously, is that the Colts went and got Sauce Gardner. They acquired him for two first-round picks and A.D. Mitchell. And they get, obviously, Sauce Gardner, who has not been quite the Sauce Gardner that we expected in that first year. And he's in ending into that big money of his extension. So it's a really interesting trade that at least we on the show seem to disagree a little bit about whether or not it is worth the plunge. But the Colts are indeed taking a plunge to try and push themselves further towards a championship if they can get there.
One more thought about that before we get to CF Boat College
Which
football.
Which we need to go.
We do need to go. We got stuff to cover. Just one more thought. It is funny that we're arguing about who got fleeced, would you do it, or they, you know, the fans are – They are going to be excited. They're not going to be excited. The reality is they got Sauce Gardner for this year, and that's a problem for the Texans.
Yeah. We
can argue about, like, who cares about the Jets and Colts fans and whether they got fleeced or not. I mean, I guess long-term it could affect the Texans if the Colts don't have two first-round picks, obviously. But the here and now is that's a 7-2 team that is in win-now mode, and they got a – At minimum, a very good cornerback.
Yeah, there's a small bit of hating from outside the club happening right now.
Kind of cope, right? A little bit of cope.
Maybe so, but we'll see how the trade deadline continues to go. Basically, 2 hours, 15 minutes remain till we actually hit the very much deadline. So we'll see what it looks like. All right, CF Boat, college football on a Tuesday. There's another open job, John Lopez.
There is another open job.
Hugh Freeze was relieved of his duty at Auburn.
He gone.
I mean, and this is to be expected. He did not really have a good go of it. Three seasons there. I want to say that his record was something like 15-18, if memory serves. I should get to my notes because I have it there.
Offense didn't do nothing.
No, 15-19 rather was his record in three seasons there. 8-17 versus Power 4 opponents. And yeah, the offense was very bad. They scored, 3 points against Kentucky? And this is Hugh Freeze that's supposed to be an offensive genius of some sorts.
Yep.
Didn't show up. He had two quarterbacks in Jackson Arnold, the transfer, and then Ashton Davis, who neither of them really showed up. And these are 3 years in when he had an opportunity to make some decisions as who to have. This was to be expected. And honestly, I don't know why you hired him in the first place. I didn't think that he's had a lot of chances, and I don't know that you should have expected things to go well. But funny enough, now that's yet another job that's open, joining the Penn State job, the Florida job, and the LSU job. I almost wonder if it wouldn't have been a good idea to stomach another year, because I feel like they fall in pretty low in the ranking of open jobs.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I'm with you in your premise there. If someone's thinking about firing a coach, you know, maybe because the top job, the top candidates are going to get better jobs, you know. And so where does that leave you? Maybe a retread, maybe an up and comer that's somewhat unproven or whatever. In fact, I ranked and willing to see what your thoughts are. I want to see what your thoughts
terrible,
are on this.
Terrible rankings.
Thank you.
I haven't even heard them yet.
The FBS jobs, I got it top 10. First of all, how weird is it? We're in the first week of November, and we have at least 10. There's more, but I rank the top 10 open jobs.
Yeah, that's in and of
wasting
itself.
No time, man.
Wasting no time.
That the eagerness with which schools are having to get rid of their coaches mm-hmm. is rough, because I think I want to hear your list, but I also think, as much as you're talking about all these open jobs, I don't know that there's a lot of candidates that you love.
Exactly.
I'm with you in theory. But.
So the number one job available is LSU. Does anybody disagree with that?
I can't disagree with that, no.
Number two is Penn State.
That is a little interesting.
Three, believe it or not, I put Auburn. And there's a reason for that.
Over Florida?
Over Florida. I think Florida is a little dicey right now, just in terms of the breadth of universities that are there that are playing at a very high level. Yes, incredible recruiting turf, but also money comes into play. Auburn with the SEC, and clearly,
Florida's also in the SEC.
I'm saying with the SEC and Alabama not being Alabama anymore, in state, you've got some traction if you want it.
Alabama in-state recruiting ain't getting for as much as what we talking about here.
What I'm saying, Alabama is not the Alabama that Nick Saban, you know, on his birthday even, had or whatever. I think Auburn is a very attractive job. You know, they're never want for talent. I know Florida, you can just say the same thing. By the way, I have Florida 4, so it's not like, you know, I would, you know, I think falling.
I'd definitely switch those, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah. I appreciate the sell there.
Number 5, Auburn, Florida 4. Number 5, I have Arkansas. And this is where it gets, let me go 5 through 10, give you all of them, see if you would mix and match here. I have 5 Arkansas, 6 Virginia Tech, 7 UCLA, 8 Oklahoma State, 9 Stanford, 10 Oregon State.
Yeah, it's about right. It's about right, especially once you get to some of these ones where not a lot of, I mean, ultimately, not having a lot of money or investment, mm-hmm. not having good ties in geography, hurts with some of these. Academic standards makes it a little difficult in some places like a Stanford, UCLA. UCLA is even harder. One of those things I don't think people talk about, we've mentioned it before on this program, mm-hmm. is when you're in a big city, those assistant jobs, the money that they get paid, it's not like they're poor, but they're not, I mean, $100,000, $200,000 does not go nearly as far in Los Angeles as it does in Stillwater.
No, that's fair.
Right? Or as it does in Oxford, Mississippi, or whatever. You know what I mean?
I also feel like, and I was mentioning this with our program director, Parker, earlier, I think low-key UCLA is a, you know, the proverbial sleeping giant. I think there's a lot there. It's a better campus, better university overall. Sorry.
Better campus, better university, sure. They don't invest in sports nearly US, like a lot of those other ones.
Saying is, like, that's why they're a sleeping giant. They clearly have alumni. They clearly have resources. It's widely considered a better, you know, campus and area and university than USC. You know, they do have something of a track record, you know, historically speaking, and it's UCLA. You know, I think it's low key a pretty dang good job.
Yeah, I would disagree with you there as well, but yeah. I understand what you're talking about there. Yeah, I'd still have them pretty low. But yeah, the ones at the very bottom there are all really tough jobs. But yeah. I think you're also right to get Arkansas right on the borderline of those mm-hmm. other ones. Actually, I might be intrigued as to where Arkansas is next to Auburn. I'd still probably go Auburn above Arkansas, but Arkansas has got a lot of money. You talk about sleeping giant. There's a lot of money there. Just depends on whether or not they'd be willing to invest it with the program that they ultimately have with whoever is at the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
To the point, you're talking about these openings. And I'm thinking about, like, who are actually the candidates that would be out there? Because Lane Kiffin gets so much love. Mm-hmm. Lane Kiffin is a particular type of retread, and I think that he has rebuilt himself in a certain way. He's learned a lot since his 30s. So I'd be more interested in doing that. But you talk about, like, the coaches that are likely to get jobs that are really – I mean, how do you feel about James Franklin? He puts together a good program and he wins. His knock is that he didn't win at the highest level. Does that change at a different place?
Maybe. I think James Franklin is perfect for Auburn or Arkansas.
Rhett Lashley at SMU is a really interesting one. I think he builds a good program. He's one of those guys that's building on his way up. The only question is SMU a stepping stone job, or do they have enough money to make it worth his while to stay there in the ACC?
I think just...
The ACC.
Yes, they have enough money. SMU has a ton of money. But in terms of profile and standing, you know, on a national, year-in, year-out national scale, clearly going to one of these other schools would be bigger.
Listen to how quickly I get to where it feels like it falls off, right? Franklin, I think you're in on. We mentioned Lane Kiffin, Rhett Lashley at SMU. Eli Drinkwitz in Missouri, who, interestingly enough, early enough, it seemed like he was going to get fired very quickly. Now he's one of those guys that has Missouri humming, and it feels like he could take a good job, right? Matt Campbell, Iowa State, if he eventually decides to move, maybe this is the time with all of the good jobs available that he goes. Jed Fish at Washington. I think he's been a fantastic coach, even when he was at Arizona recently. Matt Rhule is where we start getting here. He just signed an extension. But also, can I tell you a little something about Matt Rhule, who lost once again to an AP top 25 team when his Nebraska Cornhuskers lost to USC this weekend. Matt Rhule is a combined 0-19 versus AP top 25 teams when he was at Baylor in Nebraska.
Yikes.
And he's been one of the big names that we talk about.
Did you mention Dillingham?
No, I didn't mention Kenny Dillingham. Dillingham is a good look as well. Fran Brown, another one at SC. And then you start getting to like coaches that are at smaller schools. Ryan Silverfield and John Summerall. Like now you're talking about those ones that build up. And I'm looking at these schools and I go, I don't envy them having to go through.
To get one of those guys you're still unsure on a lot of them.
Right, because you're either going to have to bid really high on a retread. You're probably still going to have to bid pretty high on one of these upshot coaches at a mid-major, and that just ups the possibility. We continue to fall deeper and deeper into the vicious cycle of have to pay really high to get a coach, high buyout. Then if it doesn't work, you're really eager to make it work because you paid a lot of money, and then you get out of it and you have a high buyout that you're paying, and now you need to get the next one right, so you put more money into that. And I think that this is how the vicious cycle continues to go in college football. Can I add you a couple of notes on the college football weekend? Jeff Lebby at Mississippi State got his very first win in SEC play. They beat Bobby Petrino's Arkansas. He is now 1-12 in SEC play. He's been there for 2 years. He is 1-12.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
And I feel like we have to do this. I'm kind of surprised that we waited so long. Arch Manning looked just good, period. No caveats. They got a big win against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt with the valiant effort on trying to come back, 21 fourth quarter points. Arch Manning just looked good, period, which is the first time that we've been able to see that since he started.
No, I'll tell you what, the Longhorns just keep chugging along. They've got quite the stretch coming up.
They're going to sneak into the playoffs.
Well,
do you mean sneak? They just took a big jump in the top 25.
They took a big jump, but they have a bye week, I believe, this week, and then Georgia. And then Arkansas and A&M at home. So, you know, whatever you think of those things, definitely Georgia, definitely A&M. But you know, they are playing better football. Obviously, I agree with you. Arch had his best overall game. College football playoff, first rankings come out tonight.
That's going to be real fun to get a view for how they have this stacked up. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Ohio State, A&M, Indiana, Alabama in that order.
That feels obvious. The top teams, the very top, they've been what they're supposed to be. And we'll see what that looks like. We'll talk about it tomorrow on the show. But right now, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. And I did say it's a Texans Ticket Tuesday. So let's give those away. A pair of tickets to see the Texans take on the Jaguars in the bullpen. Great, great seats. And you can win them right now by being call number 8, 713-572-4610. You'll have an opportunity to sit real close to the field and watch the game. We want you to have those good tickets. All you got to do, 713-572-4610. Be caller number 8 right now, and you'll win those tickets. If you don't happen to win those, keep it locked on Sports Radio 610. I know that the Drive will be giving away another pair in the 5 o'clock hour. But right now, you're in the loop. Coming up next, let's talk about that. Is there something that we've been neglecting when it comes to C.J. Stroud? We'll talk about that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.